This recording was made on the 27th of January 2007. Welcome to Shambles Asia Casts, a podcast series, conversations with educators and those supporting education in Southeast Asia. www.shambles.net/podcasting. Episode 5. In this program, Chris talks with Steve Clark and Keith Hardy at the Thai TESOL Annual Conference in Bangkok.
Welcome to another edition of Shambles Asia Casts. My name is Chris Smith. Now, last month in January 2007, I was in Bangkok visiting a conference exhibition called Thai TESOL, which is one of the major exhibition conferences in the region for those with an ESL, an English as a Second Language, interest. While there, I met two old acquaintances in the exhibition hall, Stephen Clark from Foyle's Educational Children's Books and Keith Hardy. They both have an interest in the publishing world. Steve dealing directly with schools, and Keith deals primarily with publishers and raising their profile in the region. Both of them know Thailand extremely well and have a lot of local knowledge. It was a fun interview. I hope you enjoy it.
So really what I should do is say welcome to a Shambles podcast.
That's what you should do, but what are you going to do?
Oh, I've just done it already.
Oh, that was it.
That was it, and you slipped into that very nicely, so I really appreciate it. Right,
we're working well here.
I've forgotten the name of this conference.
No, it's more than that. It's the 27th Thai TESOL conference, and the sixth Asia-Pacific... Well, is that enough? Oh, that'll do. It's the regional conference for Asia Pacific,
okay.
Which I think it's the sixth.
Steve, maybe we can start with you.
Yeah, okay.
And just give us a little bit about of yourself first of all. How did you get to be in Thailand?
Well, I suppose it's an extremely long story, as all stories are. I had a very very successful business in the far northwest of Scotland, supplying fishing vessels with victuals and. Also local people with groceries. And I stayed in this village for about 6 years and then sold the business, returned back to southern England, and really just, this is about 1988, really couldn't find my feet because property had moved on, the price of property had moved on so much so that I really couldn't afford to buy into the property market. I'd always had this hankering to actually travel to the east and maybe seek my fortune. And so my father became terminally ill, he died, and within a month I'd left Britain and came to Thailand. And really for 10 years I wandered. I was just lost in Thailand doing bits and pieces.
How long ago was it you came to Thailand?
So I came to Thailand in 1989. And I worked in Thai companies such as, Keith's going to laugh here, companies at the International Finance Federation, Corporation, sorry, of Thailand. And I worked for a company that produced inkjet paper. I've had various sort of other jobs, bits and pieces, like filling in for teachers in language schools. And then one day in 1999, I was in an office and there was a Thai language newspaper called Nut Thurakit. And I was just flicking through the paper and there was an English advert which said, "Come and sell children's books." And it just went click. The whole idea, suddenly I thought, hey, you know, this is a great idea because kids' books, children love books, and there can't be that many English bookshops in Thailand. I obviously was aware of Asia Books and DK and the other companies. And it was a Singaporean fax number, so I faxed to the company, and then they duly contacted me and invited me down to Singapore. And to begin with, I arrived in this sort of dingy basement apartment, I think, in Singapore. I was met by this very well-educated British chap who'd flown in from the UK to show me the range of books. And actually, I wasn't sold on it because it was so badly displayed. But I realised that because the display was actually wrongly put together, that if it was put out in the right way, that it would work, that kids would come and pick the books up.
Yes.
And
And so it was a franchise, and I joined the franchise. And the first day we went out, we went to Bangkok Pathno, which is one of the biggest British schools in... It's the biggest British school in Thailand. And we took just phenomenal money. So much so that even the school, I think, was quite shaken by how much money we actually took in one day.
When you say took in one day, you mean...
We had just a book fair for one day. We started at 8 o'clock
in
the morning.
Parents.
It was for the kids, for everybody, teachers.
Yes.
And finished at 2:30. And I was just absolutely exhausted. And so from that, it grew. And obviously, I could see ways of actually growing it and became more confident.
Right. And then, and you said it grew. The name you now give to it is...
The business.
I mean, the name of the...
Of Foils grew, yes. Because okay. It grew in that suddenly teachers would actually request or ask us, could we supply textbooks? So we started adding textbooks to our list.
Nice.
Then teachers would ask us, could we supply resources?
Yes.
And then could we supply books from other parts of the world? So gradually, as teachers asked us, we just would contact companies in the UK, US, Australia, New Zealand, and just build our portfolio larger and larger each time.
Yes.
So today we could actually go in and we can completely fit out an international school.
Okay.
With their resources.
Maybe I can come back to actually what service you want. But to make it clear, the name of your company is Foils Educational Children's Books.
That's right.
It's the whole name.
That's the whole name.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that. Actually, we went a bit further than your background, but I think that was, it's useful to know where you come from. So yeah. I'm going to move on to Keith now. And Keith was very patient then, listening
to what
you were doing.
I'm surprised we'd have 2 hours of Keith now.
But maybe my other guest here at Lowe's is Keith Hardy. I'm not going to survive this. Keith, maybe can you tell us a little bit about... You're in Thailand full-time now.
Yes.
So what was the journey to get here?
Well, I've been not only in Thailand full-time... I'm not just in Thailand full-time now, but I have always been, since I left school, in the book trade. I didn't go to university because I was a sickly child and lost a lot of time with education and struggled to get my O-levels and was really, in many ways, glad to leave. And I didn't know what to do, so I went to the careers mistress at my school in Surrey in the UK, and there were various jobs in there, and one that appealed to me was to work for an antiquarian bookseller in the heart of Mayfair. In Berkeley Square.
Goodness.
And it's true, Nightingales did sing, and they also did unspeakable things to my lunchtime sandwiches when I was sitting on park benches, but that's another matter. I then moved on there, working for one or two different... I went to work for a couple of publishers, the Society for Propagation of Christian Knowledge, SBCK, and one or two other companies. And then I got a job as a representative with a company called Geographia. Which I think is out of business now, but they produced maps. And then George Philip, who are quite well-known cartographers. And then I was introduced to a job with Penguin. And in fact, the job had already gone, but the guy who had been offered the job asked for more money and then got more money and then went back to his... still his current company and asked for more from them backwards and forwards, and in the end they got tired of this.
So still in London?
It was in London. The company was Penguin Books.
Yes.
And but the territory was around the West Country, around Bristol, encompassing Gloucestershire, Somerset, what I think was then Avon. I think it existed as such, or North Somerset. Yes. Anyway, and a bit of Wiltshire. So I became the Penguin representative for that area. Penguin Group was big in those days, but nothing like as big as it is now. But the thing that really changed and led to me coming to Thailand was window display competitions, or just window display. Hamlin in 1983 organised a competition where there were 365 prizes for booksellers, one for every day of the year. I went in for this competition. Do you remember the old Bernie Inns? Bernie Inn voucher for £10 with a runners-up prizes. I couldn't even get one of those. There were 410 entries and 365 prizes. And for my window display, I didn't win even one of those at all. So I sort of asked myself, well, if I can't even win something like that, what about when my customers or potential customers are passing by my shop? They probably are not interested in my windows either. They're probably just walking straight by. So I wasn't quite sure of what books I needed. Went to the county library, which was just down the road, and got some books out on display, and specifically window display, and learnt all about design and asymmetric design, and which way people come past the window and towards the door, and what angle the door, which side, you know, the door should be, which side the hinges should be, all that sort of stuff. When I was ready, I went in for my first competition, and I won 2 weeks for two in India. So my transformation was complete, and within the next 5 years, I won eight holidays, all given, all book trade holidays, just for sending in the photographs of my window displays. But I'd learned how to win. It was the zen of window display competition winning, if you like. Some people, I'm sure, had better displays, but it's little tricks like, don't send your photograph in until 2 days before the end, and then it's pretty much the last to fall on the desk. Eurovision Song Contest syndrome, you know, you sing first, you lose. You sing last, you win.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And one of the prizes was...
don't tell me, a trip to Bangkok.
Well, it wasn't really. One of the first prizes wasn't. It was a trip to Australia. Second prize was Bangkok. Third prize was New York. Well, I actually got second prize. I lost. Terrible. But I came to Bangkok.
So your consolation prize was a free trip to Bangkok.
Indeed.
That's a very nice consolation prize, isn't it?
Well, it's splendid. And I mean, it introduced me to Thailand. On my very first trip here, I met both Silk Sung, who'd opened his DK bookstores and who sadly just a couple of weeks ago passed away. And I also met Vinay Sutarot, who was the owner and managing director of Asia Books. And I found out a little bit about the book trade here, and I'll cut this short, not explain all the bits in between, but eventually I came out to Thailand, not sure quite what I would do, but then after a little while was offered two jobs within the space of 50 minutes, both of which seemed quite good, one with Pearson, and the other one with the Bangkok Post, helping set up their book division. So I chose the Bangkok Post. Whether that was the right move or not.
I didn't know you were in the Bangkok Post. How long were you there?
Well, I was at Bangkok Post just for a couple of years.
Yes. How long ago was this?
This was 1992 to 1994.
Okay.
Like Stephen, you first came to in 1989, didn't you, Stephen?
Yeah, I first came.
Well, I first came in 1989, but I actually settled here until the end of 91.
Yes.
So, eventually I left the Post and I set up my own small company, and then I worked with somebody else who was working in books here. And then set up another, restarted, as it were, my current company in 1999. And what I do is I use what is now 46, coming on 47 years in the book trade, the knowledge I've gained, I try to put to good use in persuading booksellers that they should be stocking and selling the products of the companies I represent, companies like Penguin Books, who have lists like Dorling Kindersley and Ladybird and Rough Guides, as well as Penguins and Puffin, and companies like Hodder and Stoughton, and New Holland, who are UK-based companies, and Faber and Faber, that great publishing house. And also I represent Penguin USA and Sterling Books from the USA. And I represent those lists to booksellers such as Stephen here from Foyles. But I have a very small territory that I cover. Most publishers get, say, to Thailand once or twice a year.
Yes.
Whereas I can get to my booksellers here once every 6 weeks for the big ones, to say 3 months for the small ones.
Yes.
So it's between four and eight times a year that I'm calling on customers in Thailand. And then I also cover Indochina. So I'm particularly dealing with booksellers in Vietnam and Cambodia.
And China itself?
Not in China, but just Indochina at the moment. China, yes, I'll be moving into China in a small way from August this year. And then the other part of what I do is I edit books. One of the things that I found when I came here, when I was finding it a little difficult to try to actually land the right job, as it were, was that I could keep the wolf from the door by editing. And now I edit quite a lot of books. Generally not educational books, but mostly travel and history, mostly based around this region.
Right.
Sometimes for other places. I actually edited a dictionary from Oxford University Press at one point.
Maybe you can move on, because we said we'd try and keep this to about 10, 15 minutes each. So
I thought we finished.
I think we're getting close to the end. Well, actually, fortunately, you covered my first two questions about explain about yourself and about what you do. You both touched on what you do. I think what will be most helpful for listeners, Steve, are you happy with that, moving on?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think what will be most helpful to listeners will be to how schools or particular groups of people like parents, teachers, students, or organisations, other organisations, would benefit from the services and experiences that you have. I suppose I'm also asking, out of the listeners, who should be listening to this, and what can they, and which people will benefit best from what you have and can offer?
Let's talk about Thailand first of all, because that's the main market. I mean, how can we help schools? Because I think it's a partnership. Business is always a partnership, and firstly, we are very competitive with our pricing. We supply services that consolidators back in the UK and the US cannot give to the schools, such as we will actually pass products through customs. Whereas one of the great problems schools have here is they can't have import cards, import licences. So when the goods arrive at the customs automatically say, where are your papers, which the school cannot produce. And then they ask everything to be translated into Thai, which doesn't have to be done because everything has a harmonisation code, or should have. So the Thai customs officers actually know what the tax is on each item. And they just delay products, delay orders to the schools.
Can I add something there? If people have not tried to take stuff through customs in Thailand before, to have access to that type of experience you have, it is quite an enormous benefit. I know it particularly more so because living in Hong Kong for so long as I did and working in schools in Hong Kong, it's a duty-free port.
Yes, of course.
So everything just goes in. But when I talk to schools and educators in Thailand or other people that are trying to come in from outside, suppliers, who don't appreciate that, it sounds like it could be, has the potential of being a real headache if you don't know what you're doing.
It's an absolute nightmare. And we actually employ a Thai company, to pass everything through. We don't do it personally. We watch what's going on, and we know what items are taxable and the tax rates. So we will have informed the schools beforehand that an item is 25% plus 7% tax, VAT. The fact that we're local is also a great advantage, because if something hasn't turned up, the school might want a very quick response on getting information on that product. It might be the book's being reprinted, it might be that it missed that shipment. They don't have to wait till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon to ring a company up and then find that the person they want to talk to has gone on holiday, which is often happens because those resources are coming in the summer, of course. We ship constantly into Thailand, which means that if the books are being reprinted but are being maybe released at the end of July, we're going to be shipping through July, September, August, right the way through the year, so those books will arrive.
Is your shipping service containers, or is it air freight?
The initial orders come by sea freight. If it's late and the school requests, we'll send it by air freight. If they want things really, really quickly, we'll do courier service. And if they want things, let's say, within 14 days, we can maybe have it sent by, if it's a very small shipment, by post.
Yes.
Airmail. So we cover all the feasible possibilities of bringing things in.
And things being paper-based books?
So we're talking about anything. I mean, whether it's... We don't really supply chemicals because you can buy those locally. And they're a real nightmare to bring in. But science equipment, sports equipment, maps, posters, books, educational toys, anything. I mean, basically we cover everything.
And international schools, public schools, private schools?
Anybody who contacts.
Where teaching and learning is involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're open to all communication channels, whether it's ELS or Thai schools, Thai private schools, bilingual schools, international schools. We also bring in authors occasionally, which Keith has helped us with before.
So if schools are interested in visiting authors, you would be a good to contact with you.
We've got one coming in actually in February for 5 days. We didn't arrange it. It was actually arranged from a school in Singapore who contacted Bangkok Patana and asked Bangkok Patana would they like to have the author for 5 days.
Bangkok Pattern then rang us up and said, could we supply the books? So we've organised the books to come. And the school gets a share out of the profits.
Yes.
So they get 20% given back, which helps to pay. Either they can have free books, free equipment, or cash to actually pay for the author.
Actually, that's useful to know. Librarians are often looking at visiting authors, and many publishers, I understand, are willing to help fund visiting authors sometimes. Is that right?
No, actually, in the past... Well, we brought Jeremy Strong, who's a Penguin author, in. Nearly two years ago.
Yeah.
He was quite a reasonably priced, considering he's a megastar in kids' books. It was £450 for the day, and I think we... No, it was £250 for the day, wasn't it?
His fee was £250, yes.
And the service charge, which covered his hotel, transport, was a further £200. But he was only flying locally. He was only coming from Hong Kong into Thailand, Bangkok, and then out to Singapore. But to actually make the day go well, and we had 5 days, was it 5 days of it?
We had a whole week. To make the day go well, we had a week.
We had a week, and we had little badges. So I met Jeremy Strong at ISB, I met Jeremy Strong at Patna, little cartoon badges we had made up, and we had some flyers made up with all his books, all the books that would be available, with a cryptic of each book, and we had price lists attached to those sheets, so we knew what was happening. We sold very close to 3,000 books in the week, so everybody walked away very happy. Jeremy Strong was gobsmacked because we'd sold more books in Thailand than books had been sold in Hong Kong, which he was really surprised about.
I'm surprised at that as well.
The schools just, and the kids loved it. It was just fantastic.
I think what makes the difference though, Stephen, is that it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it. And that's not to say that Hong Kong did anything wrong, but there are often better ways than simply doing it the right way. You have to be inventive. You have to think crazily, think wildly, think ridiculously about how to make something work. And then it out of some of those mad ideas, you'll find things that actually just add that little bit extra ingredient here and there, and then just a few things, and then the whole package works. In fact, the idea of the badges. You see, I don't suppose the schools in Hong Kong. I imagine they probably weren't looking at this in such a thorough way. I don't know. He was in schools in Hong Kong.
Yes,
going into school.
Okay, does that really cover then the question? Do you think?
I think.
What about parents? You mentioned actually doing book sales in schools. Which...
We do book fairs where usually the kids are informed maybe 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, and we go along with a selection. I don't know. It might be as many as 3,000 titles. So it's quite a big event. Sometimes the kids have got money, and sometimes the parents come along. It varies from school to school. Some schools, the parents like to bring their children in, and some schools they're busting. But they're always very. I don't think we've ever really had an unsuccessful book fair.
Yes.
Probably we have, but I've forgotten about it already. But we're also looking at training programs, especially for Johnny Phonics, which is a program we're selling in Thailand at the moment, where we would like the parents to actually come along and have a basic training so they can help their little children at home. And they can buy some of the products, such as the workbooks and videos and DVDs.
Yes, when you say little children, you mean kindergarten?
And we're talking about, let's say, 3 to 6, 7 at the moment.
Yes.
Okay. And we've been involved in some of the programs where parents are trained or informed about the course, but we haven't actually done it ourselves, and we'd like to do it ourselves in the future.
Yes. Okay, Keith.
Mm.
Who would be the people to best benefit from... I didn't realise your experience went back so far. This industry is really in your blood, isn't it?
It is now. I can't think of anything else. I mean, I have at times thought about other things, but not seriously.
Yes. Who would benefit from the services that you offer the most?
The direct benefit really is to booksellers, because I'm offering services that will benefit consumers, and those consumers may just be maybe parents, they may just be maybe can be absolutely anybody who goes into a bookshop, people who go into libraries. But obviously, a lot of the benefit can also be to children, and to their parents and to teachers, because the lists I carry, some of them are very strong with their children's content. So I think that that's that's where the experience that I've had over the years. I did mention window display competitions before. That's because I was a bookseller in Bridgewater in Somerset. I have my own bookstore, bookshop as we would say in the UK, for 12 years. And during that time, I mean, Bridgewater was a sort of a bit of a, what I would say, a spit and sawdust sort of town in many respects. But people did read books as well. The county types and the farm labourers tended to mix quite well, and you would find the pubs a complete mixture of people. It's actually rather nice. And Bridgewater also had some sort of minor claim to fame, because after the Second World War, the Arts Council of Great Britain decided to set up an arts centre, and the very first UK arts centre was Bridgewater Arts Centre. So when I think the third event they had that great French architect whose name I've now forgotten, that did lots of those African wonderful African things. We'll think of it later. But anyway, they had a number of events there that sort of put them on the map. And obviously lots of grants from the Arts, yes, Arts Council. But when I bought the bookshop there, there was no real connection between the Arts Centre and the bookshop. So I started to get involved with the Arts Centre, and in fact at one point was vice chairman of the Arts Centre. Because of my involvement, we had literary festivals there, and we brought authors, some quite famous authors in. We had a children's festival that lasted a complete week, with children coming in from all over the county and even further. And one of the things that this spawned was the idea to take authors into schools. And just as Stephen does this now through his bookselling operation, it was something that we did. I actually formed a company called Centre Stage and liaised with a number of publishers who then provided authors who had new books coming out, and I would tour them around the country. So not just in my own neck of the woods. So we would go to maybe a public school in the morning, sell loads of books, usually by a chit system. Of course, that's the easiest way to do it. You can sell far more books that way and get more books into students' hands. And then we'd perhaps do a state school in the afternoon, and then maybe we'd go early evening radio station, and then TV, right, or a TV, and then a theatre performance in the evening. So all kinds of authors, whether they were novelists like John Mortimer, or astronomers like Patrick Moore, or all kinds of...
still alive, isn't he?
Oh, apparently, indeed, I think so. He must be about 84, something like that. He's getting on.
He's so old that my mother told me about Patrick Moore, actually. So you remember Patrick Moore very well.
I remember Patrick Moore. And in fact, sometimes Patrick would have problems with publishers, or he'd have problems with some event somewhere, and he'd say to his sidekick, sort of sidekick, it's probably unfair, John Mason, he would just say, John, get on to Keith. And everybody asked to sort out all sorts of things for him. But we toured, and we did about 50 shows together in some quite large theatres, well-known national theatres, but all sorts of subjects. And that's why one reason why I so much want to support what Steve does, because he's kind of doing what I can't do now, because I don't have a bookselling operation here, but I believe in it and I know how well it works. Okay. So that's why I'm keen to try to supply authors for him. We've had other authors. We had Benjamin Zephaniah here, and there'll be more. And the one that Steve spoke about for March is in fact an author that's published by Puffin, which is one of the lists I carry.
Okay. So to summarise that, Keith, so the people that would benefit most from your services would be publishers from anywhere in the world.
Well, the publishers I represent would benefit from the sales that are made, but the real benefit I think you're talking about here is the benefit that I can give to booksellers in order to be able to help them to reach their market perhaps a little better.
And you're both based in Thailand, but you have a wider geographical influence. You said Indochina.
I also go into Indochina
as well.
I'm not actually planning a trip at the moment, because I contacted a couple of schools, and at this time of year they're actually out recruiting. So I probably will go a little bit later in the year, because although Keith's supplying books to some of the booksellers who in Vietnam, some of the supplies which I can supply into Vietnam are not available through agents in Vietnam. And for some reason, the Vietnamese companies don't like touching just plastic toys. I don't know why, but yeah. It might be just, again, customs problems.
Yes, yes. You see, what you just said a very small thing, I don't think, and you probably didn't realise the importance of it, was you said, and the schools are doing recruitment now, and quite often, people who are trying to target Asia for some sort of commercial process don't pick up on that local knowledge. If you're actually going into an international school during the next few weeks, and you wanted to talk to the boss, or the recruitment people, or deputies, some of the deputies, well, they may actually be in the UK or in a job fair somewhere in Australia and not available. And it's that sort of local knowledge, I think, that hopefully some of the people that are listening to this podcast may appreciate that you hold. Because you've both been here a while, and you've soaked it in by osmosis and nothing else.
And, of course, the visit to Vietnam would have to be curtailed, or I'd have to put it later in the year, simply because Tech comes up on the 15th, and all the schools are shut for another week, and by the time they've got back together, or the school is open, you've got to give them a few days to organise themselves. Yes.
Well, that's a very good point that Steve makes, because in fact the Publishers Association in Great Britain were planning, together with the Department of Trade and Industry,
In
Great Britain, we're planning with the DTI in the UK to take a trade mission, a book trade mission to Vietnam, and the week originally chosen was the week of Tet. So they decided that they put it on a week, right? But that's really no good, because it's an official holiday that sees people out for much longer than the official holiday. Plus the fact that if you're away for a week, on holiday, even if you go back the next week, you've got a week's work from the rest of the world who doesn't know that you've been on holiday for a week, you see, because it's just peculiar to Vietnam. Tet is peculiar to Vietnam at that time of year.
Doesn't the North have longer, they have more days, don't they? More holidays?
You may well be right. I'm not sure.
So I think that's a good illustration of the local appreciation that you have, which would actually save people a lot of money, never mind time. I know it happened in Hong Kong as well. The illustration I add to that in Hong Kong is the importance of Chinese New Year. Mm. Hong Kong really does close down at Chinese New Year. It's not a 2-day holiday. The printers actually closed for a month because it's the one time they work 24 hours a year, but the actual printers closed for a month. And it's the one time of the year where they clean all the presses and everything. So if you want something printed around Chinese New Year, it's going to be very difficult to be done. And it's that sort of local knowledge that I think is quite important for us to be able to share to make available to others and to save them time and money.
And also, of course, in Thailand, a lot of the Chinese Thais celebrate Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. And I think quite a lot of businesses do close, don't they? Mm-hmm.
But we said we'd keep this. We've gone well over time. You can see the clock on the recorder, probably. We're
about 40 minutes.
There we go. That's so much. And you said you didn't have much to talk about. And I think we could go on. Because I'd actually like to talk about, and I'm not going to, but I'd like to talk about how you work with different organisations, like the Librarians Organisation in Thailand and international schools and people like that. But I'm not going to.
It's still very broken, actually. Okay. They're only just beginning to get together as a group.
Yes.
But it hasn't really. There are 60, 60.
Are we talking about the librarians?
The international schools.
Yeah,
the international
schools. But it's still very, very fractured.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes.
You know, they don't always agree together to do things.
And yes.
One school and another school might agree, and then a third school doesn't want to do that.
But I think the potential is there. I'm hesitating. Or maybe we can do this another time next year or something.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Are there any questions I've missed that you wanted me to ask, though?
How much do we get?
Whether we do this again next year is entirely dependent on this.
I can assure you get exactly as much as I do.
Probably the final thing I would add actually is that the international market, schools market here is thriving and it's growing and it's becoming it's an exciting time in Thailand, actually. It really is for international schools, and some of them which before maybe had been, they said had some strange practices, have actually finally given up, and where they hadn't had budgets in the school now suddenly teachers have got budgets and those schools are really beginning to breathe and grow. So it's a really, I think it's a really exciting time here, actually.
Well, that's nice that you can do it. If people wanted to contact you both, how would they do it? Keith, how would they contact you?
Well, I think if people wanted to know about what is the easiest way, I'm not really sure. The publishers that I represent generally will have my contact details here in Thailand on their website. So it's the main publishers, such as Penguin.
But if it was somebody new that wanted to contact you?
If it was somebody new, well, the thing is that I am really dealing... One thing about all my publishers is that they don't deal directly with schools, because we feel the people who can do the best job are local booksellers, because they are selling books all day, every day, to customers who they are able to identify and they know.
Yes.
Now, for us, we are covering a much wider geographical area, and therefore... to include all the schools that might be in a particular country would be virtually impossible. Whereas local booksellers can, between them all, have got the opportunity to do that. Now, most of them don't, but I think, obviously, Steve has identified the particular areas. We're talking about international schools, for example, where he has very good links and knows people very well and knows that market well. So, generally, when I have not... a great deal of direct contact with schools and libraries,
if another publisher wanted to contact you,
if another publisher wanted to contact me, which does happen from time to time, then probably it would be through my through my email address.
But see, how will people contact you?
I think it's quite simply steve.c@foilseducationalbooks.com.
And you've got a new super website.
We're about to put a super website up, and the idea is that we're going to have everything that we carry in stock, which will be even textbooks and resources, so that teachers as well as parents and kids can go to the website and buy books.
Can you remember the address of the website?
The website is
quite a long address.
It's www.foilseducationalbooks.com.
Okay, and I'll put that in the show notes so that people can click on it as well. But you're going to be able to purchase online there.
The idea is, when we've actually got it finished, let's say in a couple of months' time, they can purchase online. There'll be some information for parents and teachers, notes on guided reading and possibly other bits and pieces as we pick them up.
Okay, so if you're head of the department in a school, that might be some useful free material
to help
with their policies.
If they contact us for inspection copies or... they want to know what's being published in the next 12 months. Yes. We can also check that.
What surprised me was, before we started this, is you actually told me that you keep quite a sizable stock already in Thailand.
We keep, I think we've got something like 10 million baht worth of books. I'm not sure. I didn't see our last stock take. So
that's sizable. So that's a big advantage. And the website will tell people what's available tomorrow or whenever they have.
Exactly.
Thanks very much, the two of you. I'm surprised, when are you going to join together and have one mega company between the two of you? Because you actually sound so you don't compete.
No, you complement
each other quite well.
Yeah, no, it's better as it is, actually.
Yes, I think so. I mean, there are times when we've sort of actually thought, wouldn't it be good if, but not seriously.
Yes.
It's just that I think we say that sometimes because it's a way that we can cooperate together. But we're doing different things. I mean, we've talked today about the things that we do which directly complement each other. But I'm doing things that really wouldn't match at all with what Steve does. I mean, the editing side of what I do wouldn't really match, and also a little bit of consultancy from time to time. And that wouldn't really match in. But I see my job as actually giving Steve and booksellers like him, although there aren't too many like him, but giving the support where I can, which makes his job not only easier, but means he can do a better job all round with the information and the service that I give for the companies I cover.
Great.
So I think it works well. Don't you think so, Steve?
We couldn't work together.
No, I mean...
What
do you mean we couldn't? Take your jacket off, roll your sleeves up, we'll sort this out now.
I can't do that because it's sewn onto my body, mate. Tattooed.
Can I finish up on... I want to come back to something right at the very beginning and say, what conference were we at now? Now, I've been told that this is probably one of the premier events for an ESL teacher to attend from any school in Southeast Asia. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Or are there any other big conferences? Because you're probably more aware of the conferences than I am. Should ESL teachers...
This is the major one, isn't it?
Well, I think there are...
Is there one in Malaysia?
This is the major one in Southeast Asia. There are probably three, maybe four major ones in Asia, shall we say, or at least the swathe running down from Korea. Korea is a major one. Japan has a major one. There's and Thailand. Those are the main three. With possibly in Taiwan, there is also a similar organisation. But I think that this is the one that everyone likes to come to.
Okay, that's useful. So if teachers are prioritising what they should ask their boss for money for to attend, this will be a good one. Mm-hmm. There's a new one starting in Cambodia, isn't there? Have you heard of that? Camtel or something? In a few months' time.
Camtel, is it? Or something?
Yes, that sounds about right.
But it is quite small because, unfortunately, education budgets are very small in Cambodia.
Yes.
But it's mostly been started, I think, because Western teachers there who know about the value of TESOL are keen to promote it.
And share their ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably just as effective to come over here.
Well, I think so. I mean,
because Cambodia is a short flight from here, isn't it?
It is. No, I think that any teachers involved in CamTESOL would probably want to come here anyways, which in a way begs the question.
Yes.
It may not beg the question in terms of having... publications and having meetings and things, but I think to hold a conference, I think they would find it, they would struggle. They wouldn't be able to get the foreign visitors to the extent that Thailand can.
Yes. Well, that's great. Thank you for both sharing your time. I really appreciate it. You've got a lot of experience. I didn't realise how far your experience went back, Keith, with the bookshop, and it's right from the beginning, wasn't it? Yeah, I didn't realise that.
1966.
Okay. But thanks very much for sharing your time.
Thank you.
And I was useful to listen. I hope you find it.
66.
You have been listening to Shambles Asia Cast, a podcast series created by Chris Smith. www.shambles.net/podcasting. The music heard in this series is from Magnatune. www.magnatune.com.
It's out there somewhere. The trick is finding it.